Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. We're still marching on to learn about the miracles which our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, performed in the Bible. Obviously, as we have shared before, not all the miracles Jesus performed are written in the four Gospels. But the ones which were written, they were written for, as the beloved John said in John 20, verse 31, that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we may have life in His name. And as we shared before, our Lord performed, according to the written gospel, 37 miracles. And today we'll move on to miracle number 13, which is written in the book of Luke, chapter 8, beginning from verse 26. And here is the summary of what took place in that miracle. Jesus and his disciples were traveling to the village of the Jidriyin, which is the opposite of Galilee. When he arrived there, there was a demon-possessed man for many years who was naked, who did not live in any homes. He just enjoyed the living in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out with a loud voice. As we read that in verse 28, he, that is the demon-possessed man, fell down before him, that is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." What was the condition of that demon-possessed man? He was seized by the demons. He was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. First of all, we have to understand, once again, the demon-possessed man did not ask Jesus to perform a miracle. Nobody asked Jesus to perform a miracle, but he was here to minister to those who were in bondage. Jesus did not cry out to the God in heaven and say, "Please help me," or "Please give me permission to perform one more miracle here." But Jesus asked, "What is your name?" He said, "His name is Legion." And that is a large number of demons who possessed that man. Notice in verse 31, they, these are the demons, begged him, that is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. That means, here is a confession from the demons that we know for sure that it is our Lord Jesus who has the power to condemn everyone to eternity in hell. He will be the judge for all people and even the demons. That is a great evidence that not only Jesus is the Son of the Most High God, but he is the God who will judge the living and the dead as well. Obviously, we know from verse 32 that there was a big herd of swine. So the demons begged Jesus if he will allow them to go inside them, and he gave them the permission. And in verse 33, we read, "Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down into the steep place, into the lake, and drowned." What a great miracle our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ has performed that shows his grace, his mercy, and his compassion to such demon-possessed men. Let's move on to miracles number 14 and 15. And here we see two miracles mixed together. Jesus was about to perform one miracle, but he was interrupted to perform another important miracle. And we read about that in the book of Luke, chapter 8, beginning from verse 41. For there was a man by the name Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, who had a daughter who was 12 years old, and she was about to die. So that man Jairus fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house so he may heal his daughter from her sickness. So Jesus now is on his way to perform such great miracle, and behold, big crowd surround Jesus. And then we read in verse 43 about a woman who was bleeding since 12 years. Imagine with me, there's a 12 years old young girl who was very sick and about to die, and another woman, she's been bleeding for 12 years. That woman spent all the money she got on doctors because she was seeking some healing, but no one was able to heal her. In verse 44, listen to what she did. She came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. Then we read in verse 45, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" I love it how Muslims will read the same passage, not to get any truth from it, but to try to find something wrong with the passage. Oh, if Jesus is God, he would have known who touched him, and he would never ask that question. And because he asked that question, that is a great evidence that he is not God. He is not the Son of God. What a ridiculous conclusion. As always Muslims do, when they read throughout the Bible and they read God asking questions, they always come with the same conclusion. The Bible is not the word of God, because if the God of the Bible asks questions, that means he does not know. But Allah in the Quran is the knower of all things, and we know that he will never ask any questions. Obviously, those Muslims are so arrogant and ignorant. They think they know it all, when in reality, they know nothing. That's why I call them arrogant. And they're ignorant because they have not read their own Quran. For as we read in the Quran, you see that Allah, the God of Muhammad, asks questions. And some of these questions are the most ridiculous questions. Even when you read the verses of the Quran, you will see that when Allah asked Isa, for example, in Quran chapter 5, verse 116, "Did you tell the people to take you and your mother as gods beside me?" And Isa, son of Mary, answered by telling him, "You know all things. You know I did not say that. If I have said it, you would have known it." Which means, actually, Isa, son of Mary, is telling us that Allah is accusing him of something he never did. As we know, for reality, Muhammad put that verse in the Quran because he himself was so ignorant of even who is the God which Christians believe and worship. He is a triune, but not father, mother, and son, as Muhammad erroneously claimed in his Quran. But he is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Add to that, even the Quran itself declared that Isa, the son of Mary, knows everything. Listen to what we have shared with you before. That is Quran chapter 3 and verse 49, when Isa said, "And I inform you about what you eat and what you store in your houses." That means Isa, son of Mary, knows even the unknown, which is, by the way, one of the attributes of Allah in the Quran, as we have shared with you before. And anyway, when Jesus asked the question, "Who touched me?" it's not because he did not know who touched him, but he is there asking the question, waiting for a confession from that woman who touched Jesus. For first, all the people denied that they touched Jesus. And then Peter said to him, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" Listen to the answer of our Lord Jesus in verse 46. Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." Wow, there is power in Jesus. And somebody touched Jesus, and some of the power of Jesus came out of him. Why we never read anything like that about Muhammad? That there is some power in Muhammad, and people touched Muhammad, and people were healed by Muhammad? The answer is Muhammad has no power. But Jesus has power. In verse 47, we know that that woman came to Jesus, and she was afraid, and she told him in front of all the people why she touched him and how she was healed immediately. In verse 48, Jesus ended that miracle by saying to her daughter, "Be of good cheer, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." That was miracle number 15. Once again, let me remind you, my dear wonderful listeners, that when Jesus performed this miracle, he did not pray. We did not read anywhere here that Jesus stopped and prayed to God and asked him for his will or his permission. All what we read here that the woman touched him, and she knew even if she touched the hem of his clothes, she will be healed. And what is more important is that Jesus healed her with his own power.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicki@thestraightway.org. That's Vicki spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
Now let's go back to the first miracle, which was interrupted by the woman who touched Jesus, which is the miracle of the healing of the daughter of Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, as we read the sad news in verse 49. While he, that is our Lord Jesus, was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." She is dead. Well, she was about to die, and now she's dead. Will this end the miracle opportunity for being performed? Absolutely not. The one who can heal the sick, he can raise the dead. It's not because he needed extra help or extra power. It's just because he is God Almighty who can do all things. For we continue to read in verse 50, "But when Jesus heard it," that is the bad news, "that the daughter of Jairus is dead, he answered him, saying, 'Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well.'" Only believe, and she will be made well. That is exactly what is the requirement for such great miracle to be performed. So Jesus continued to travel with Jairus, and he went into his house, and he only took with him Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the young girl. Now people were crying and slapping their face, which is a normal reaction to death, especially for someone young in the Middle East, in our culture. But Jesus said to them in verse 52, "Do not weep, she is not dead, but sleeping." When they heard that, obviously they laughed, because they know she is dead. Jesus sent out everybody, and he held the hand of the young girl, and he said to her, "Little girl, arise." Miraculously, the command of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ to that dead young girl is fulfilled. As we read in verse 55, "Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat." What a great miracle. It was never too late for our Lord to perform that miracle. And once again, as we read these miracles throughout the Bible, We know that Jesus did not cry out to God the Father, please give me permission, or please allow me to do one more miracle, but he did it by his own power, by his own command. Let's move on, my dear friends, to cover one more miracle, and that is miracle number 16, which is about opening the eyes of the blind. For in the book of Matthew chapter 9 and in verse 27, we read, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. In verse 28, and when he, that is our Lord Jesus, had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Notice Jesus did not say, did you believe that God can do this through me? Or God will give me permission to do this to you? But he is directly speaking to the two blind men and he said, do you believe that I am able to do this? I am able, that is symbol English, as much as it is symbol Arabic, it is by his own power, by his own strength, not by Allah's will or by Allah's permission, as Muslims claim. They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And in verse 30, we read, their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. So it was not about Jesus showing off and perform some miracles so he can get some reward or some glory from the people. No, he is the Son of God who is able to do great miracles by his own power, by his own strength, and he does not want to be famous for doing it or be rewarded by anyone for doing it. Now in the following two verses, we read about another miracle. And that is miracle number 17. Here we see a demon possessed who was not able to speak. And after Jesus healed him, now he can speak. Two simple verses. In verses 32 and 33 of Matthew 9, we read, as they went out, that is our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ and his disciples, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it is never seen like this in Israel. What a great miracle our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ performed. He cast the demons out of that man, and the man who was mute, now he is able to speak. That's why people marvel. And I wonder, when our dear Muslim friends hear about all these miracles in the Bible, do they marvel? Do they believe that Jesus was not just a teacher or a good man or a prophet? He is more than that? Because as we see in the Bible, other prophets performed miracles, but they did not perform it by their own power, by their own strength, but by the will and the strength and the power of God. Even later in our study, we see that Jesus' disciples, even until today, people can perform true miracles, not the fake miracles we hear about and we see on TV, but true miracles. And these miracles are performed not by anybody's power, but in the name and by the power of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, let us look at one more miracle for our broadcast for today, and that is the healing of the man of Bethesda. Here we know from that passage of the Bible that God was performing miracles by the angel of the Lord. That is, an angel will come down and he will move the water, and the first sick man that goes into that water will be healed. But we have a problem with that sick man of Bethesda because he did not have the strength to go into the water. And every time he sees the water move, as he is about to go down into the water, somebody else goes ahead of him, and that someone is healed. So what was the answer for that situation? That man was sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him laying there by the pool, Jesus said to him, do you want to be made Well, the answer is very simple. In the book of John, chapter 5 and verse 7, the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another step down before me." In verse 8, Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." It was very simple. Jesus simply said the word, "Rise, take up your bed and walk," and he was healed on the spot. Once again, when we examine that miracle, we do not see that that sick man asked Jesus to heal him. We do not see that Jesus prayed to God, begging him, "Please give me permission so I can perform that one more miracle for that man who was sick for 38 years. It was simply an order. It was simply a command. Our Lord spoke and healing took place on the spot. That is a great evidence that Jesus was not just a teacher or a good man or a prophet, but he was God Almighty who came in the flesh. That is exactly what the beloved John wrote for us about why these miracles were written. And I hope and I pray our dear Muslim friends who are listening to our broadcast right now can get around that very important fact that Jesus performed miracles for a simple reason, that we believe that he is the Son of God and that by believing in his name, we can have eternal life. That is salvation for our sins, to spend the eternity in heaven instead of the just place for us to be, which is hell. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.